another edition of our Working Waterfront. And this happens to be part two of a very special edition because last time we took a tour with Skipper Rick Oldman on the schooner Cape Clear. Hook and line, troll for salmon, clean and freeze boat. Designed and built in Port Townsend, two generations of owners, many shipwrights, and Cape Clear doesn't offload its catch to a processor or a buyer. Instead, it brings it home and during the following several months sells directly to our local community. Today, we're going to visit with the crew of Cape Clear. It happens to be a unique crew. We have Pam Petranek, Natalie Taves, and Kayla Janders. There were five crew total, and they weren't on the boat at the same time, but at least we have three of them right here, sitting by Sea Dock in Boat Haven. I'm going to turn it over to you, Pam, because I know you have a little bit of background you'd like to talk about.
I wanted to tell you about the connection between Washington and Alaska fisheries. So a 2022 economic study shows Alaska has the highest number of fishermen in the U.S. at 19,808, and with Washington following in second with 5,863 fishermen. There's approximately 1,000 vessels homeported in Washington State participating in Alaska fisheries. Many of these boats are now serving third generations and shipwrights of Port Townsend's working waterfront. So why do we fish in Alaska? Well, in Alaska, there's been many decades of activism and steps that led to a dramatic resurgence of Alaska salmon. The same care has not been taken elsewhere around the world, and many fish stocks have declined dramatically due to many reasons, both internal and external threats. Alaska's fishery management practices have been held as a model for other councils around the country and world to follow. Here are some fishery management quotes from Alaska. Salmon embody the connections between the oceans and the upland watersheds which sustain us all. Another quote, preserve the habitat, take care of it, and protect it. And there's absolutely no reason this couldn't go on from now until forever. You've got to have the habitat, the local on-the-spot management, and input from local knowledgeable fishermen for a well-managed fishery.
Pam, I guess the question is, how does one acquire that knowledge? And where does one acquire that knowledge? What's it like up there?
Well, we're going to talk to the crew, and they'll tell you a little bit about how it's acquired. But first of all, we got to go with Rick Oldman, who has had 40 years of fishing experience. But Alaska is a real draw for so many people because it is a land of superlatives. The geography, I'll tell you some of the highlights of the geography. It's got 17 of the 20 highest mountains in the U.S., over 3,000 rivers, 3 million lakes, and 5% of it is covered in glaciers. It's got the largest expanse of tundra, boreal forest, and rainforest in the United States. It's got more active volcanoes and has recorded the largest earthquakes in North America. Alaska has a coastline of 6,640 miles, which constitutes half of the United States' total ocean coastline. And the little tidal saltwater detailed shoreline is 33,904 miles. Compare that to Washington's coastline along the ocean of 157 miles. And the detailed shoreline is a little over 3,000 miles. Another amazing thing about Alaska is it's one of the world's largest temperate rainforests with an annual rainfall of about 200 inches. Compare that to Port Townsend's annual rainfall of about 19 inches. Here's some of my journal entries of a typical day in Alaska. Rain, wind, fog, swell, upper 40s at night, upper 50s during the day. And the rain this evening on the boat sounds like popcorn popping. Here's listening to the weather radio, the forecast descriptions. Rain, widespread rain, then rain, numerous rain showers early, then rain likely, scattered rain showers, then rain, light rain, then rain, maybe heavy at times. We left Port Townsend in mid-June, and we arrived back here in mid-September with supplies to be self-contained for 4 people for 3 months. We traveled up the Inside Passage through Canada. We crossed the Dixon Entrance, which is the maritime boundary between the United States and Canada. And then we headed out in the ocean, northward along the outer coastline of Alaska. We started in the southern area of Cape Muzan, which is Prince of Wales Island. And over the next 80-some days, we traveled as far north as the area of Icy Strait at the top of Chichikov Island, which is Glacier Bay. And we anchored in a different spot almost every night. We invited 4 young folks for their first commercial fishing trip, which included my son Jacob, my daughter Kayla, and 2 other good friends, Bertram and Natalie. Their ages are 26, 27, 29, and 34 years old. They each have full-time jobs and they were able to arrange time away. Jacob and Natalie crewed the first month, Bertram and Kayla crewed the second month, and Kayla stayed on through the third month. I want to say 2 things that make a great crew: a high degree of awareness and a willing attitude. And now, let's hear their stories and some lessons learned as part of the commercial fishing fleet from Washington to Alaska.
Well, Natalie and Kayla, we were talking earlier, and you were talking about how it was sort of a unique bond that you two formed together based on a common experience separately. And what was it like for each of you? What are sort of some of the salient thoughts that come across your head right now? Tell me what it was like.
I was thoroughly impressed with the fishing community. I wrote a journal entry, 1 journal entry, about Alaska while we were up there. And in it, I talked about how I had lost sense of time, space, and life outside of what we were doing on the boat. It was so different from what I had been doing. I had been living in the city, and I wanted to get out and away from civilization. I had wanted to connect with the natural world and the incredible vastness, power, and beauty of the mountains and the ocean. So one thing that really stuck out to me was the knowledge that fishermen must have, not just in fish, but in boats, engineering, electrical, plumbing, weather, water, sailing. And you must be extremely hardworking if you want to be a successful commercial fisherman and have a willingness to jump up in a moment's notice to do or fix something. There was a night that I woke up about 3 a.m. to a very loud clunk. It did not sound very good. And about 2 seconds later, my mom's head pops down through the hatch of the forecastle, and she's screaming and yelling, "Get out here, we gotta take down the riding sail right now, we're dragging anchor, we're going into a reef." And you just hop up, you know, there's no thinking involved, and you just like get out there and do whatever you have to do to save yourself. And you realize in those moments how susceptible you are to Mother Nature and the weather. It's an interesting situation because as a commercial fisherman, you are so extremely independent. You know, you rely on yourself and you have to take responsibility. But at the same time, you are completely at the hands of Mother Nature and you have to kind of live according to those laws. So focus and determination and attention is extremely important. And, you know, every sound, every variation in weather or water is noticed and noted and evaluated and determined upon. Every change is compared and observed and quickly acted upon.
Kayla, I'm looking at your journal. And it's beautiful. It's beautifully written. I keep thinking to myself, this is so, almost something that could just be published as is. It makes me wonder what it was like when you were rocking and rolling, and how you could write so carefully and beautifully. Maybe Natalie, you could tell us about what it was like to be out there on a rolling sea.
Well, Pam neglected for her characteristics that make a good crew member. She neglected to include an iron stomach, which isn't required, but is really nice to have. Is a terrestrial bipedal primate. The sea is sometimes not where we're best evolved to function. I know that day two, as we sailed up the Strait of Georgia and we encountered roughish waters for the first time, my body went into a bit of a lockdown. And I kept telling myself, wow, this is fine. I'm having a good time. Pam passed me some ginger, but before it could kick in, I was just totally overcome by lethargy and nausea, and Rick was nice enough to let me go crash in the captain's quarters while everybody else is at the helm. So, but there were some nights in early July while we were fishing off of Forester Island in southeast Alaska. We were too far from any good anchorage, and so we opted to drift at night. And the ocean swells were so severe that I nearly rolled out of my bunk several times, but managed to stay inside and safe and sound. And quality of sleep, maybe not the best, but your body adapts in ways you don't expect. And you learn to function in constant movement in a very dynamic environment. And we all brought our yoga mats on the boat as well. And if you've never done yoga at sea, you should be tempted to. It's quite a challenge.
What was it like when you hit calm seas or your boat was in harbor? What was it like to readapt to all of that?
One thing that was really interesting that I noticed right away, I flew up to Sitka and met the boat after they had been fishing for 2.5 weeks already. When I got onto the boat, I was extremely excited, asking, when are we going fishing? When are we, you know, they, Pam and Rick were both so content just sitting on the boat. There had been a storm and, you know, we had a couple days to wait it out. And they were so happy just sitting there. And I didn't quite understand it at the time, but after that storm passed and we went out fishing for a few weeks, of course another storm came through and we had to hole up in a beautiful little cove, and I realized, wow, they really, really appreciate this downtime. It's not, you know, work Monday through Friday and then have the weekend off. It's work when the weather's good and then you take a break when the weather's not. So that was something that I learned to really, really value. When we had those few days, just relax, we would eat good food, we would read lots of books. But it was always tough going back out and reacclimating to the swells. Every time we did that, my body anyway had to readjust to that ocean, motion of the ocean.
Can I add a point to that?
Yeah.
I'd sometimes, at the end of a 14 or 16 hour workday or something, find myself filled with boundless energy by the time we arrived at the anchorage, because my body wasn't trying to manage the motion of the ocean, and just how wearing that is. And you don't really understand how much energy it takes away from you physically and mentally, emotionally, sometimes. So the absence of that was really pretty shocking.
Learning about all of this, I have to tell you folks that this is the first time for both Kayla and Natalie to be up anywhere near the commercial fishing fleet, being crew on a deck. What's the biggest lesson that you took away from this whole experience, Natalie?
something that the crew and I have talked about at length is how meaningful this work is in so many ways. As a member of the crew on Cape Clear, I know that my actions matter to the safety and the success of my crewmates, of the boat, and of the business enterprise. And I know that what I do matters and I have a purpose each and every day. That's really important to note because I think we live in an era of BS jobs, right? Mm-hmm. And people feel really detached from who they are and what they're doing each and every day and feel sort of a sense of listlessness. And that's really damaging to the psychology of an individual and an entire society. And so this work has shown me how crucial it is to have a direct impact in your community and in your working environment. And one more thing I'll say is it's really special to be able to feed your community and be connected in one of the most fundamental aspects of human life in that sense. And so connection to the boat, to your crewmates, to your community, and also to nature.
We were talking earlier about life-changing experiences, big life-changing experience in this case. Caleb, what are you walking away with now? What are you bringing back?
One lesson that I learned solidly and completely and wholly up in Alaska was that I am capable of doing anything that I want in life. And I know that people know that and people say that, but I feel it concretely in my soul now that I am capable of, you know, whatever direction I want to go in, I know that I can do it. Many things about fishing that are difficult, and there are many things about it that are beautiful. And I wanted to tell a little story about the first time that I went into the fish hold with my crewmate. You know, we were in a very dark, a very loud freezer for hours at a time, and that's intimidating. It's negative 35 degrees. There's a fan blowing cold air on your face, and you're working to dip frozen fish in a bucket of fresh seawater to create a glaze to protect the meat, right? And so you'll be down there for hours at a time, and you can't hear your crewmate, and they can't hear you, and you just have to go into that situation knowing that you're working together, right? I felt claustrophobia for the first time in my life down there. You know, I was laying on my back about 2 inches from the ceiling, and I was being handed frozen fish. They were being set on my lap by somebody who I could not see. And I was reaching down to my lap, feeling for this fish, picking it up, and placing it blindly over my head behind me. You realize in those moments, I can stay calm and I can get through this and I can come out stronger on the other side. And it's up to you. It's really up to you. So, and nowadays, I mean, if you ask anybody that knows me, I love going in the fish hold. It's a blast down there,
literally.
You know? It's a literal blast. Yeah, it's a really rewarding process.
Kayla and Natalie, two changed women coming back from an adventure in Alaska. So I really appreciate your sitting down with me today and talking to us about that. I think you came back with some very, very important lessons. And Pam, you've been up there a number of times. What lesson did you bring back this time?
The opportunity to work with two of the finest young women that I could imagine.
Thank you all for joining me today on Our Working Waterfront. All the best to all of you, and sure made my day. We'll see you next time on Our Working Waterfront.